All Okay. Welcome, dear listener, to our end of season review for AFC Wimbledon 2023-24. It's been a roller coaster, which unfortunately fell short at the last, to be honest with you. It was a roller coaster of excitement and then a sort of like a roller coaster of disappointment. Anyhow, to discuss the last game of season and the year, the season in general, I'm joined by Adam Proctor, the man on the keyboard, and mon frere Niall Cooper, who has graciously given up 5 minutes of his time whilst he talks to the rest of football about fair game. And Niall, have you solved it yet?
Test, but days have gone when football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Davis isn't just a game, and tough decisions must be made.
I think taking your silences, yes.
I have solved it. I have solved it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's all going to be sorted by tomorrow morning. Is that right?
Excellent. So
Actually,
by the time you're listening to this, dear listener, on at some point, football will have been solved. It according to Niall, it's solved on the 3rd of May. All of football is solved. Good work. Anyhow, so today we're going to chat.
Solved on the 4th of May, because may the 4th be with you.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Today we're going to chat through the last match of the season. We're going to look about what could have been. And I've just done some little bit of research about penalties. We're going to go through, the squad we've got. We've got the retained list that came out. Have a look about who's in and where we need to strengthen. I think everywhere. Also, a bit of a chat about season tickets, and then at the end of it, you'll be able to hear what happened when we presented our same old Womble Awards at Plough Lane on Saturday. So you'll be able to hear all of that as it took place. So, first things first, last game of the season. Walsall came to us knowing that they needed a sort of like turnaround. They needed to score probably at least, beat us by at least four or five clear goals. And anyhow, someone scored the goals. It was you, Dons. What a great game. I mean, what a lovely game to end the season. What was your thoughts on it, Adam?
Yeah, well, it's funny because we talked on the podcast and you sort of mentioned the fact that they might come at us, and that gave me a little bit of nerve. But anyway, but also I was like, I got there and I was having a great time and thinking, great, nothing's on the game, just go enjoy it, right? And of course, we score, and I'm like, brilliant, And then, which I'm sure we can talk about, they score. We can talk about how they scored, and then my mood changed, and I was like, we have to win. We are not losing this game based on how the goal came about. And secondly, it was the last game of the season. I don't want us to have to end with being disappointed, because also at that point, had we given out two awards? We probably had. I can't remember. No. Yeah. We no what? No, one.
We'd only done one by that
Yeah,
point,
yeah.
yeah.
So we'd done the thing about what the awards were, and then we'd handed out one, and it was all quite exciting for that reason. So I was like hyped about Wimbledon, hyped about the first award. Then we're winning, thing, and then when we're drawing, I'm then like, no, this day is not going to be ruined by this. And it wasn't. It was absolutely
Oh.
not ruined. We smashed them, and I don't even know what was going on. I was like,
Oh.
the goal, Curtis's goal was unbelievable.
Great
Yeah,
volley.
Bugles kind of ones were all like, what? It just somehow got
His
in the goal.
first header, if you look back on it, the thing about the first goal that we scored
Oh, the 8 minute thing.
was obviously it was 8 minutes
I
in,
know,
so
so the key.
we're all doing a huge round of applause for the there's a poor kid at Walsall who's tragically lost their life. And 8th minute, we're all asked to do an applause. So the 8 minute comes up, we're all doing an applause. But the game obviously is still going on, and it's down on the left-hand side. Great little move by Curry. Knocks it back to Lee Brown, who delivers a brilliant ball into the box. Amazing ball in the box. And it's, by the penalty area, Bugle gets up and heads it. But we're still all doing the minutes sort of like applause, and it was kind of like it felt a bit odd, but it was a great goal. And then he went on to score a couple more.
It did feel odd, but then it was kind of like
it was a bit wrong, wasn't it? But like, you know, still.
Yeah, but I think as Adam was saying, I mean, like, I was, and you might have felt this too, Nye, but I was like kind of relaxed about the whole game, really sort of like chilled out. It was all right. And then there were moments in it that when they got their very dodgy penalty, and then they scored. And then one of the, I think it was their number 10, was giving it really large to the fans on our side.
Wasn't it just?
So all of a sudden, I started caring again. I was just like, I wonder if I could go to a game, just sit back and go, there's nothing to play for here. Just going to enjoy the spectacle, get on with it, have a good evening, yada, yada. But I started to care on a you don't have to care for it match. I really was just like, we've got to beat these bastards. and I only meant that at the time. Now we'll...
Oh, Matt's frozen now.
Those who can't see, Matt's frozen in a very dramatic moment there. And he's now gone. But like that goal, you know, was, you know, I loved the whole day. I loved that, you know, the brilliant finish by Ronan, the getting the hat trick. It was all great. It was all really, really good. It was a wonderful end to the season. And luckily, none of us thought that if only we'd won the previous two games, then we would have been in a much better position. But there you go.
Yeah, well, no, listen.
We finally relaxed. I think we finally relaxed. That's it. The team relaxed and just thought, oh, what the hell, we'll go for it. And lo and behold, we're actually quite good.
Well, no, listen to this, because I did a little bit of research, because this is something that came up last week. We were talking about it. No, the ifs, whats, and whys for. Because I like, as a football fan, you like to torture yourself. Okay, so this season, we have missed 5 penalties. Okay. The first penalty we missed on the opening day of the season away at Grimsby, Al Hamadi missed. We drew 0-0. So that's 2 points down. Then later on in the season, Al Hamadi missed another one against Wrexham. We drew 1-1, another 2 points. Then against Mansfield away, Tilly missed a penalty. We drew that 0-0. So another 2 points. Hope you're keeping up with this. And then towards the end of the season, obviously Tilly missed one, and we lost 1-0 to Stockport. So overall, that is 7 points we've dropped from missing penalties, which would have given us 72 points and put us fifth.
So bad. It's so bad. Oh, I can't believe it. I mean, yeah, like that is like fifth place. Like we would have been, like we wouldn't have had to play them. We would have been clear in the thing. I mean, who knows? I mean, obviously, if we scored those penalties, who knows what the rest of the game would have happened, and they might have turned on their charm or whatever. But yeah, that was mad. I mean, and then, I mean, not that I was thinking about it at the time, but yeah, that soft penalty on Saturday. The guy just fell over near another person. There was nothing going on.
Yeah.
It was so mad. And of course the ref, so the funny thing then was that, well, it was sort of half funny. So there's a couple of things I wanted to reference in that. So obviously the ref goes to do the thing. And before the match, we'd had this protest in the main stand where fans were obviously protesting against the changes of the FA Cup. And so they'd held up all these red cards or whatever. And a little bit earlier on, someone had scrunched one up, and a couple of people started throwing them as paper darts, and I think someone got ejected a little bit. It seemed kind of inappropriately, but of course, once the penalty was set up, all of the people behind the stand turned their cards into paper darts or balls, and just continued launching them onto the pitch, which meant that there was a massive delay, which you would have hoped that massive delay might have put the penalty kicker off, but of course it didn't. But it was quite funny because that added like tons of time on. And of course, every time the penalty area was clear, like one little extra like red screwed up ball would get launched, and of course the ref had to kick it back out of the way. So that was quite amusing. And of course at that point, the security crew obviously didn't start kicking every single player out of that end of the stand. So that was, I felt a bit sorry for the person that got kicked out, because I didn't think they should have been kicked out anyway, because it wasn't like they were aiming at any player, and you couldn't get those. None of them seemed to be able to build sensibly flyable paper darts anyway, so they didn't get much past the kind of over the line. So yeah. So Noel, come on, you knew a bit about the FA Cup protests, obviously. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that, how that went, the coverage of that bit, and then we can pick back up on the game and maybe the after party once Matthew sorts out his tech.
No, right. So on the FA Cup replay stuff, massive, massive kudos to 15-year-old Hector. It was him that designed the banner. He was the one who put all the cards on it, which when you look at the photos, and I've seen them, are really great. You know, and it's great, I think, for a club like AFC Wimbledon, because we're kind of rooted in the kind of a history of protest, to see our club basically leading the protest against the abolition of FA Cup replays, which is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And obviously, from a fair game perspective, that's now gone national. So there's like, we sent a letter to the Secretary of State that was signed by 37 different clubs. The minister has now, like I said, she's going to officially report back, was really looking into that and seeing the issues. And the FA Council have now called an emergency meeting to discuss it as well. So, like, that is all down to, you know, the real hard work of people like Hector. And we've been doing that whole campaign with the Mirror and Andy Burnham, the Mayor of Manchester. So, you know, it's been really good. But it's all about how messed up football is in terms of the power structure, the people making decisions. Because none of those 37 clubs were consulted, so none of them knew anything about it. No fans were consulted. Loads of other clubs have said they weren't consulted. So these decisions have been made in little dark rooms, basically controlled by the elite of football. And when you look at all the tentacles and where it comes back to, I'm sad to say, but it's the top six clubs in the Premier League who are controlling basically everything. The FA Cup, the FA, make all their money from the FA Cup. So they dance the tune of the Premier League clubs who provide them the most amount of money for the FA Cup. So that they dance their tune. You know, the FA want to be different, but they can't because the money is where it is. And it's just, you know, the whole system's a mess. And until we have an independent regulator with teeth, we're going to be left in these sort of decisions being made that will have absolutely no consideration for clubs like AFC Wimbledon. And that's the problem at the moment. You know, that's the real big issue. So for me, I was really proud to see a kid like Hector, a 15-year-old kid, lead that protest. You know, and that for me is like a right, you know, as a club, we should be really proud of our history of standing up for the little boys and also saying, like, no, we're not going to take this. And I think that's brilliant. So it was a really cool protest. It was really good. Admittedly, they did all turn into paper darts. I did see one make the penalty spot, which I thought was quite an achievement as a paper dart. So whoever did that, really well done. It's quite a throw. But, you know, as a whole, I think it's a moment of pride for us to say that's what we stand for, you know. Really well done.
Yeah, I'm guessing they may decide, I don't know, if they hear of a protest again, that they don't bring in big cards or whatever, bottom bits of A4 paper. But anyway, I mean, it wouldn't, you know, like I said, a few people tried to throw someone independently before the penalty thing, but then, of course, it became like it was raining paper aeroplanes and scrunched up walls. So I kind of think the ref brought it on himself. But there we go.
Yeah, guys, I'm so sorry. I dropped out there for a bit. So I'm sure, listener, you would have noticed that, because as soon as I dropped out, Niall started talking fair game. I knew this would happen. I just literally a minute, and this is what's gone on. Anyhow, no, it's, you know, it's great that we're leading the way on this. And like I say, Niall's got football sorted by the 4th of May. I'm giving him an extra day. But so anyhow, the season has ended, and literally the day after, I always find this really kind of a bit difficult. But the day after, we get the retained list and the people who are leaving. So it'd be good to know. So obviously the people that are going are Quain Bartley, Marcel Campbell, Josh Hallard. I don't think I've not seen any of those three really play. But then it's people like Paul Callum-By, Ben Mason, Alex Pearce, Harry Pell, the award-winning Harry Pell, Zach Robinson and Nick Zaniff. And I'm just wondering, of that list, who would you have kept any of them? I think this is unanimous. I don't think anyone would have kept any of those people. And then
I think the surprise more is the fact that we've had to keep someone we didn't want to keep. So I don't think any of those would be,
yeah.
And no so, good and about that.
And so I guess the other thing is the Office of New Contract. So these are people that are obviously out of contract and we're looking to bring them in. So that is Hussein Biller, Lee Brown, Armani Little and Ethan Sutcliffe. So they've all been offered new contracts. And it's interesting, out of that lot, I would certainly be looking at Lee Brown because I think when he's played, he's delivered for us every time. I mean, like, whether he's covering it at left back or there was a brilliant bit of the season where, both Johnson and Lewis were out and he was covering there, and we were, impossible to score against. Then we get our proper players back. It's things got a little bit more hairy, but it did give us options. Anyhow, I'm just wondering from that four, would you want them all on a contract?
I think that's a really hard one, Matt, because there's a couple there. I mean, I don't know how well Ethan Sutcliffe's doing. I don't really know much about him. Armani Little has shined in places, probably not as bad as a kind of cover in centre midfield. And you're right about Lee Brown. I mean, what I like about Lee Brown is Lee Brown reminds me very much of old school Wimbledon. He's the sort of player that you would not want to meet in a dark corridor, dark alley, because he'd basically do you in, because he's just like, he's just solid hard bloke, isn't he? And I actually love that. There's a bit of Barry Fuller about him that I like. I mean, he's not got the pace of Barry Fuller, but he's that kind of like, made of like brick wall type of a player that, I like.
It was Lee Brown and John Joe O'Toole are those two players that kind of like, it does look like they would run through brick walls for you. They're just, and they look like they're a bit of a laugh as well. I would like them both. What about you, Adam? Of those four, Biller, Brown, Little and Sutcliffe, would you keep? I mean, I am hearing with Sutcliffe, he's very well thought of.
So I would keep Biller and Brown personally and not worried about the other two. But I also, I suspect there's some stuff to do with squad depths and things that they kind of understand better than I do, or, I haven't looked it up. So maybe they know that Little and Sutcliffe are really keen and they want to stay and they can get them on a good deal. So there's probably more at play. But I think Brown, he's had some really solid games like him. I think Biller could be really good. So I kind of want to hold on to him. I know it's been, a bit up and down, but Little's been all over the show for me. Sutcliffe, I can't really think of what I've seen, know of him anyway. So
I think Sutcliffe would be, it might be one of those people that comes in and sits as a cover for our back four. So, I guess the assumption is that you need cover right the way across the back four. So we need, four people that can cover in at centre back. And certainly Lee Brown could do that. And then we've got it. If we've got two right backs, which would be Biller and Oggs, and Oggs, I think, can play in the middle as well. But we're certainly going to need a left back. I know that Curry's contract has been activated.
What does that mean, by the way?
He's got a third. It was 2 years with an option for three, and we've taken up that option. And the only reason being that means that, we can sell him, which is what's going to happen. So we're going to need at least another left back. So I think we're probably across the back four, we're going to need at least two, and probably one or two in the centre and one and two up and two up front as well.
So so what happens when the options are not activated? What do they say? Options deactivated or options terminated?
They just go into they've been released. So if it's not activated, they join the scrap heap of football list. Yeah.
Can you imagine that'd been a really hard decision when it came to Jack Curry? Should we activate it or not?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, there is. I mean, it's a weird one because, you know, talking of players, because Jack was our player of the year, and I get it. He's brilliant. But I was quite surprised in a way. I thought it was going to go to Bugle in the end. I mean, maybe that's because I sit around you guys a lot, and that's what I was thinking, it was going to be Bugle. And when it comes to our end of year awards, dear listener, you might have been following this. We did have a bit earlier on where we said we would do an award for the best player of the year, our player of the year, who we know is going to be with us next season. But because Bugle signed a 2-year contract extension, we thought, we won't do it because it's going to be him. But it's Jack Curry. I mean, I can understand it. Jack Curry is brilliant, but we've seen him. That's the last we'll see him in a Wimbledon shirt. For a long time.
We got a photo though, didn't we?
We did get a picture.
Well, I think every time there's an award ceremony, there's always one player who said, don't go whoever, right? Yeah. And that means they're obviously going, right?
Yeah, every year
we do it, and every year off they trot.
I know he's off. And so if you're looking at the loans, because there's always talk of, you know, possibly Barmer coming back. I know he's out, and there's already conversations about him apparently going to St Mirren. Bass would be lovely to keep him because that's the other thing we need. We need at least one, if not two, keepers. Then you've got JK from Palace and John Joe O'Toole. I mean, so there's four people there, and I guess I wouldn't mind keeping three of those four: Kofi Barmer, Alex Bass and John Joe O'Toole. But knowing that Barmer is not a right back, can we just all agree that he's not a right back? I mean, he's got a great throw, but doesn't put him in the team.
I think Barmer, yeah, I mean, that's a mistake, isn't it? Barmer playing it right. So I'd totally agree with that, Matt. I think that is the right, you know, the right selection there. The one that I think is interesting when we look at release.
I like Gordon though. So yeah, I thought he could do. I was thinking something was going to happen, but of course it's the end of the season now. So
I think there's probably
better people than Gordon available on loan. The player that I think is most interesting that's been released and is the classic Lyle Taylor, who's been released from Cambridge.
Has he? Really? Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, he's a weird one. It would be a very weird to get him back because I think he played very well with it. He's 32, 33 now. He didn't play any games with Forest at all. So for a season, he wasn't playing. And then he was out of contract. And I think he joined Cambridge in Jan. And people haven't been that complimentary about him at Cambridge, from my understanding. So he'd have to. It would be interesting. I guess if he had a whole pre-season in front of him, if he was in pre-season and he has all that, then maybe, you know, and he hits the ground running, who knows? I mean, he'd certainly be an option to have, you know, as a striker to bring on.
Google is my friend. He's a prolific time internationally with Montserrat, 12 goals in 16 games. That's not bad.
Yeah.
He's played for 850 clubs. Millwall, Eastbourne, Croydon, Concord, Bournemouth, Lewis, Woking, Hereford, Falkirk, Sheffield United, Partick Thistle, Scunthorpe United, us, Charlton, Forest, Birmingham, Wickham and Cambridge. So only a few clubs. And we're the club he's played for most.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be welcome back. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but I'm just wondering what sort of wages he'd be looking at. Maybe he'd be willing to take the sort of wages we'd be offering. I don't know, but that would be interesting. But I feel that's what I think. So we almost need virtually two players across it. So we need two goalkeepers, at least two defenders, two people in midfield. So we need someone who's going to give a little bit of that attacking flair. I mean, if Ronan Curtis, we could sign him, I think he can just do things which are just a bit magic, can't he? And then you need two strikers. So what's that? Seven or eight players is what we need over the course of summer. And also, I guess if we can, it would be good to get some of the people that are in the squad out of the squad. But I'm not sure how easy that's going to be. So, you know, it's clear that Nightingale's not going to be coming back. He's not in JJ's plans. So, but we would demand, you know, they would. I don't know, but what his fee is, that's the moment. That's the big issue, is how much his salary is at the moment and who would cover that. So I think that's going to be the problem. But again, it's an exciting summer. And I think, so looking back on the predictions for last season, because, you know, obviously last season was that appalling. I think I'm right in saying that Adam, you were predicting seventh. I know. I think I predicted 11th. Niall, do you remember what you predicted?
I think it was 10th.
No, it was not 10th. That was Alex. Alex predicted 10th, and he was the only one who nailed it on. I got 11th, and I think you were being more pessimistic. I think you were down in you might have been lower than that.
I would have been 8th or 9th, I think, actually, to be honest.
So you know, but so for all of us, you know, the whole thing, for a majority of us, obviously, Adam, you were more optimistic than most of us. But it was going to be a step up, and it has been a step up. You know, and a lot of our games have been great, and we've seen some, you know, certainly the first half of the season was fantastic. We always lose something around January, and when you're going to lose someone like Al Hamady, then that's very difficult. But he has given us over £1 million already, and if Ipswich get promoted, and they're close, but if they get promoted, there's a few more in there as well, although probably not as much as what people think it's going to be. I think you're probably talking, you know, low 100,000s, not another million or something like that. So it's not.
Yeah, I think it's going to be just like 100K. I don't think it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, so something around that sort of figure. I think the
but there was something about appearances after as well.
Yeah, well, the appearances are where we get the most amount of money from. So it's appearances where we get the most amount. My issue is, I guess if they get to the Premier League, I'm not entirely sure how many appearances he gets. I know we get a lot more money if it's appearances in the Premier League rather than in the Championship, but I'm not entirely sure how many appearances he would make in the Premier, to be honest with you.
I think the biggest likelihood is we get some money because they go up, and then we get a share of the money that we get when he's flogged to someone else, because he ain't staying in the Premier. I don't think.
Well, I thought
he even made the squad. Like in the last game,
They'll keep him on. I think they'll keep him on because he's a great one for the future, so to speak. But he'll probably, I'd have thought he'd be loaned out to a Championship side. I think he'll probably get loaned out to whoever, you know, Birmingham, Sunderland, Hull, whatever. I'd have thought that's probably.
Well, I mean, that's probably not a bad shout, because Ipswich are obviously going to go down next year.
Yeah.
So they'll have a player that can play in the Championship, having played in the Championship, ready to come back. So that's probably a sensible thing to do.
And I'm interested with the appearances, because if we get money for appearances, do we get money for appearances if they're not at Ipswich? So if he makes a truckload of appearances for Sunderland, I wonder if we get money there. Will we ever know? Anyhow.
We should know, but we probably won't ever know.
But it's all, we've done what we wanted to do. I think the issue's being that we were so close.
10th is amazing. 10th is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I might have been, I was optimistic with 7th, but I just thought, it's, you know, why not? I think I'll always try and be optimistic. But finishing 10th is like mega, actually. Yeah. I think, you know, yeah, we could have maybe finished a little bit higher, maybe won another game, you know, but that's massive, I think.
I think
it, and we can definitely push
and,
on.
And certainly, and I think the lot that to go out on such a great performance was brilliant. I mean, that was really good. So to go out on a high, I thought was fantastic. The one thing, just to go back to that game, and to, we'll lead on to the awards, where you'll hear, you'll just hear what happened on the day. But after the game, I got we got a bit sidetracked because we have got a dedicated listener. Hi, Lee Rumbelo, hello. She approached me at the end of the game and is really still upset about the season ticket thing. And I think this has still got an issue. And it actually, in fact, the season ticket is symptomatic of the issue. And the issue seems to be at the moment is who is running our club, because we all get to vote for the Don's Trust members. But the DTB, sorry. And then, but it seems that the PLC is making most of the decisions for us. Now, I get it that the PLC are there to make the footballing decisions. Who's our manager? What do we do about selling clubs? We don't want to get involved in the day-to-day running of the things. But in terms of season ticket sales and what's involved in season ticket sales, if that feels to me more like a DTB, Don's Trust board decision, than a PLC decision, or certainly something that should be ratified by the Don's Trust board. Yet it feels like there are more and more decisions that are being made by the PLC rather than by the board. And also, do you know what? Right now, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you the name of our managing director who's just come in place from Palace. I couldn't tell you the name
James,
of it.
James Woodruff.
There you are, but but obviously, you know, Danny Macklin, and I'm not advocating for him at all. But one thing, he was very present. Probably shouldn't have been that present, but people knew who he was, and he was on the social medias, all that sort of stuff, and making connections with the fans. Whereas James seems absent from a lot of things, and that is a real shame that we don't have that connection, I think. And also, you know, I think there is going to be a lot of unease about who is running our club. I don't know what you think, Charles.
On that, he was a very, very notable absentee from the award ceremony, right? You know, I mean, like, if there is, there are things that as an MD of a club that you should be seen at. And that's one of those, you know, like, we should have been having a speech from him or something at that award ceremony. And that's just a little bit, makes me a little bit nervous, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the same thoughts, really, basically, because, you know, we obviously played the awards that we gave out, and that meant that we were at the after thing for as much as a bit as we could. We stayed as long as we wanted, really. I obviously had to make sure I could get home. But I didn't see him there, so could I ask afterwards? Did I spot him? And I'm saying that because, you know, we've got a video talking to the head of football operations. You know, we've got video and photos of us talking to JJ. You know, these that's not normal in any football club, but it is normal for us, you know. And so that means we want to see those people. And I, you know, whether I wanted to talk to their managing director or not is probably less useful at that thing, because I thought it's all about the players and the transfer window and all that cool stuff and us giving out our awards. But even if I'd spotted him, that would have been good, because I spotted Danny Macklin a number of times. Didn't need to talk to him, but I spotted him, and it was like, oh, good. He's checking out what's going on. He's kind of seeing what it's like on the ground, you know. unless, like Niall says, whether that is with too much and whatever, and he doesn't need to be a fan in terms of the direct experience. He can have people reporting to him about the things on the concourses and whatever. And but at the awards ceremony, I mean, I think I understand he was there somewhere, but I didn't, you know, not in the same way that we hang out with loads of players, the women's team, the manager, the head of football operations. It was insane.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I'm not advocating that he has to be there all the time. But it just feels to me that he's happier being detached. And I felt if I asked him who's your boss, he would point to someone. He would, Mick Buckley, you know, he would say is my boss, rather than the correct answer, which is the fans are my boss.
Yeah, Mick Buckley was there as
well. Yeah,
Mick,
and he was jumping in our pictures and stuff like that. Everyone wanted to be a part of the same old Womble celebrations. Anyhow, listen, I think there's going to be things that rumble on from now until, gosh, we've got 3 months, chaps, until the season starts again.
We might have to find a pre-season friendly.
Yeah,
sure.
We're going to have to find a pre-season.
We did a couple.
And of course, the season hasn't totally ended for Wimbledon because this Sunday, AFC Wimbledon women's team are playing their final game of the match where they get to lift the trophy. What an amazing achievement. They are the bee's knees. And I was really looking forward to going along, but it is the same time as my daughter's football match. So, and I was promising all the AFC Wimbledon women's team that I'd be there. And I know they're listening to this podcast. I'd just like to apologise, but it clashes with my daughter's game. I hope you understand. And I'd just like to say that my daughter's got a trial with the AFC Wimbledon under-14s on Tuesday. So I'm hoping that she'll be part of the squad in years to come. But still, I know Adam's going to do his magic now, and you should be able to hear from this point onwards the awards that we gave out at the Walsall game on Saturday.
So the St. Mo Womble's award for best food outlet, the nominations are Doshak Pizzas, My Pie, Triple Cooked Chips, and La Posta, the Argentinian steakhouse. And the winner is La Posta.
Okay. And the nominees for Club Hero of the Season: Mandy in the ticket office, Noah the ball boy for his franchise celebration and ball boy duties, Philo for his music choice against franchise, Lee Willits for his flag duty, and Craig Cope, the transfer mastermind. And the winner is Mandy Bynum.
And now, the best substitute cameo. It's either Ryan McLean for his winner versus Coventry in the League Cup, Ronan Curtis for his winner, last minute winner against Mansfield, or Ronan Curtis again, perhaps, for the winner against franchise. Who's it going to be?
I haven't even looked to see what they are.
It's only Ronan Curtis.
Yeah, we're glad he's really good. Hello, Ron. Yeah. Okay. The nominations for St. Wombles end of season best mug awards are actually best on field non-goal moment, Al Hamady for carrying the play off the pitch, Joss Kelly for the brilliant almost goal, and Harry Pell for, well, for practising shooting. And the winner is Harry Pell.
Okay,
great stuff. So here we are. We're about to give out the awards. We've managed to get Chris Stewart, who's going to hand out the awards. And I think what I'm really excited about is that I'm knowing that Adam is a vegetarian. So he's really excited about giving out the awards to La Posta. Anyhow,
a vegan thing.
We're just gonna get Chris now, and we're gonna do the awards.
It's really cool.
Here we go.
Gentlemen, I'd just like to say that we've been doing our podcast. We've got a special award for the best food out there of this last season. And you are the winners. I'm going to hand over to Chris Stewart to do the presentation.
So this is the same old Wombles podcast. And the best food out there 23-24 is La Posta. There we go.
Yeah. Congratulations, chaps. There you are. Whenever you want coffee.
Excellent. Well done. Thank you. Well done.
Congratulations.
I've got to wait for my food now.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're going.
Okay, all right. Here I am. Wait a minute. Me and Alex are here. We're about to give out our second award. Same old Wombles Award. This is the award for Club Hero. I can't believe they don't do a Club Hero Award. Are about to do the surprise. It's like what's that thing where you surprise people? So here we are, just waiting to take our turn. But if you look down to over my right shoulder, that is our right shoulder. That's our listener, Lee. And I know that she's got things to be saying to the club. So, Lee, we're loving you and we're loving what you stand for. But we need to do this award now. Anyhow, we're just about to step in. This is how good Mandy is. This is why she's our club hero, because she's dealing with it all the time.
Because we did the same old Wombles podcast, and we've got all the rules, and we don't like to look at our meetings. So we've sort of got a club hero.
Okay.
And this wonderful mug, which is the prize. And
our club hero.
Hey. Harry Pell, we're just about to do the interview. Alex is moving in. I'm very excited about this. This is for the best on-field non-goal moment. It's a complicated award. Some people would say we've just created it for Harry Pell. That would be wrong. You can see he's popping a figure down here. So there's been lots of autographs being signed. Here we go.
So we're the same old one bit
of podcast. Oh!
And we have a and we have some wonderful awards this year, just being the first year obviously, and this is the best on-field non-goal moment.
The best on-field non-goal moment.
I know what's coming. And so, yeah, same old one balls, and it's dedicated to you.
Oh, Harry Pell, the first winner of the on-field non-goal moment.
You just need to practice your dedication.
So if you're looking around here now, we've got our we've got Lewis. Who's taller?
You're
right. Hey, how are you doing, mate?
You're looking at a bit.
But great
first
season. It is, mate. It's a
great first season. 65 points. Yeah. Good base. Squad together. Let's go again.
Yeah.
It's all right. He told me at Bradford he had a striker and a midfield player lined up. So hopefully he's still got that striker and midfield player.
They're in tomorrow.
it's been awesome. Listen, we do something called Same Old Wombles Podcast.
Yeah.
And
hang on, is that number four or number five?
Well, we like to think about
our 10th podcast, don't we? Did you get kicked off it?
No,
I signed
down. Well, he resigned.
We're the fifth most popular podcast.
Okay.
And there's only four.
Oh.
So we've
congratulations.
Done,
I just
wanted to let you know, I'm really sorry about this, but we did an award, and the best, we had Club Hero, and you were nominated.
Nominated? Who won?
Mandy.
Mandy.
The
Mandy.
So, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And you made Mandy cry.
Mandy. That's Mandy gone. You're going to get rid of Mandy now. Yeah, thank you very much.
Good luck over the summer. Yeah. Yeah. Let's
sign
some duds now.
That's the idea.
Thank you.
See you later.
It's all getting a bit much, to be honest with you.
So, what else can
I can't actually speak. I think that's coming across.
Okay,
right. We're giving out three now. We're at our last awards.
So excited.
Giving out our cups. We're just trying to work out what cups we're going to find lying around at the end of the day. One second in. So our last award. It's for best substitute appearance. Here we go. We're going in. We are the same old Wombles. This is our podcast, this is us. Because we're really old. And we're doing some new awards. So like you've got Players of the Year and Goals of the Year, which you'll win anyhow. But we're doing this special award. This is for Best Sub Cameo Award. Three possible nominations, and you were two. The Mansfield one, but obviously, best sub cameo, winning goal against the franchise. Here you are. This is it. Like, you can use this for all sorts of stuff. I swear, if we find this lying around at the end of the day, we'll be upset. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a roller coaster of a season. I think it's ended on a bit of a high. Thank you very much to Adam and Narsay, particularly for covering for me when my Wi-Fi went down. And we'll catch up with you again soon. Come on, you dogs.